Open a public hearing on House Bill 2332. It is a moment. We're going to wait for some witnesses to appear.
You couldn't come down?
And Representative Breyer was going to try and be down here. I don't see him either. I can give you what they shared with me if you wish.
That would be good.
Okay.
Did we lose Senator Shannon?
She's right outside.
We'll ask the committee administrator to explain what's transpiring with. As we know it, it's House Bill 2332.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the House Bill 2332A currently requires the Department of Employment to seek waivers of necessary federal laws and rules to establish a pilot program for four counties, Clackamas, Marion, Washington, and Yamhill, to minimize the number of job applicants who are referred by the Department of Employment to jobs that they are not legally authorized to be here in the United States. It also is requesting and requiring that the emergency board to determine if the waivers are acceptable, and if they are not acceptable, direct the appointment of a task force to examine the ways to reduce the number of persons who are being referred by the Department of Employment to jobs that they are not legally authorized to be here. In part, Annette is here. Please.
First thing, Mr. Chair, and I have a legislative coordinator for the Employment Department for the person from the nursery industry, Mr. Ashkin, and hopefully he'll arrive, but I can at least speak to you about what we've agreed to. Sorry, we're trying to competing hearings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Scott Ashcombe, today representing the Oregon Association of Nurserymen. The bill that you have before you, House Bill 2332A, is the result of an amendment to the bill which was requested by the Oregon Association of Nurserymen in order to address a problem which is probably best described by me giving you a description of what happened to one of our largest nurseries in Oregon, J. Frank Schmidt Nursery Company. J. Frank Schmidt Nursery Company employs approximately 550 full-time agricultural employees. Last year, as the result of a standard business practice that J. Frank Schmidt operates under, they requested an INS audit of their employees in order to ensure that that they were street legal in every regard, and this is a standard business practice for that nursery. When the audit was completed, the INS found that 350 of the employees of J. Frank Schmidt were in fact not eligible to work in this country. They were
as part of the audit by INS, was it based solely on the lack of a green card?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tarnow, I can't say what standards the INS used to determine that the workers were ineligible, and I can't answer that question accurately. In any event, what was troubling to the Oregon Association of Nurserymen was that many of these employees, in the neighborhood of approximately 200 of these employees, had been referred to J. Frank Schmidt Nursery by the Oregon Employment Department. The reason for that was determined in an informational hearing earlier this session before Representative Roger Byers' Business Committee in the House. And the reason for that was that apparently the department uses a different review methodology for employment services referrals than it uses for unemployment insurance claimant referrals. With an unemployment insurance claimant referral, the department checks their green card or checks their alien registration number before determining eligibility for unemployment insurance. With regard to employment service referrals, however, or job referrals, the employment department has not been checking the alien identification numbers. It occurred to us, and by us I mean the employment department director, and Ed Talbot, Ted Hughes, and myself representing the nursery industry today, that the solution to the problem would be an amendment to House Bill 2332, simply to require that for employment service referrals statewide, that alien registration numbers be verified by the department before they refer potential employees to the department, the employment unit. There is also in the bill the creation of a task force to look into the question of the legality of workers that are referred by the employment department to employment units, as well as some other very valid and important matters of worker availability in the state of Oregon. So we did come to agreement between the department and the Oregon Association of Nurserymen this afternoon on these amendments to House Bill 2332, and we request that that the committee allow us to work with Legislative Council to draft those amendments and bring them back to the committee in a work session for final passage of the bill, if that be your desire. And with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll recede and allow Ms. Talbot to tell you what.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Good afternoon. Annette Talbot, Legislative Coordinator for the Employment Department. When House Bill 2332A came out of the House side, the department still had a fair number of concerns about how it was drafted and about some of the responsibilities that we could legally undertake as it is drafted. And we were given the task to meet with the Nursery Association, the Nursemen Association, and work to see if we could come to some consensus. Luckily, I think we were able to do that earlier today. And the references that Mr. Ashton already put on the record, we would agree with. What we can do for employment service applicants is check their alien, it's referred to as an alien registration number or an A number. And he would have a task force to look at other ways to help employers do employment eligibility verification. Some of the major problems that the clients that Mr. Ashman represents are that they have forged documents that they are presented. And we wouldn't be any better at noting forgeries than they would. And we would be doing the same process twice, basically, and not really solving their underlying problem, which is availability of legal workers. So we believe that is something that the task force can look at and to see how the employment department can best work with the employer community to do that in a legal way. But this will give them some protection in the short run and allow us to study the broader policy issues in the long run. So we're very pleased that we can reach that accommodation and work on some better solutions and perhaps get Oregon to participate in some pilot programs that the INS is using for employers in other states to help them verify employment eligibility. So we don't do a not-so-good job twice. We do it once and we do it well and let employers do it themselves. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Sure. This is an issue. As the employment division, the department, to determine that we have been paying illegal aliens for unemployment benefits?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tarno, no, I don't believe so. We do require a Social Security number for unemployment insurance benefits and an alien number if they're not a citizen.
do we go behind the they sign a form saying that they're a representative or that they are a citizen. We do not check behind their representation, so I suppose that it is possible. But here's the reason why we don't think it's very likely, and that is that when employers hire someone, they are supposed to do the I-9 check, which checks documents, and to get a social security number for purposes of the IRS and documenting their wages. An employee has to work for a sufficient amount of time in order to even be qualified for unemployment insurance. So they're already double checked before they even have wages sufficient to get in the system. So we don't believe that that's true, but that certainly could be something the task force could look at.
Thank you very much. We'll work with the committee administrator and get those amendments drafted. That would be outstanding. We'll bring the bill back.
Thank you.
So that was closed public hearing on House Bill 2332. And we will open a public hearing on SCR 15. Senator Lim.
Thank you very much, Chair Sy, and members of the committee. And I do appreciate the opportunity giving me to testify on behalf of SCR 15. For the record, my name is John Lim, State Senator from District 11. And since I'm a graduate of the Western Evangelical Seminary, because of the connection, and I introduced SCR 15, Mr. Thornton, he was the president of WES, Western Evangelical Seminary, where I graduated with a master's degree in Divinity, and he was the president. Now, WES is part of the George Fox University, and George Fox College and the Western Evangelical Seminary, they combine it together, become the university. Now I serve as a member of the board of that university. Mr. Thompson, he was a preacher, he was a chaplain, and he was the legislator, he was a family man, and he was an evangelist, he was a trombonist, he's a musician, and everywhere when I looked at him, I respected him a lot as a Christian minister, but as my president of the Western Evangelical Seminary. I think it's appropriate for us to memorialize him since he passed away May 14th, 2 days before my mother passed away. And then he served in the Clackamas area. I asked the senator that the state representative and the speaker not rush to introduce to memorialize him. She asked me if I do it, she will be the co-sponsor. That's why at the lateness of the time, I introduced the legislation through the offices of your committee. And Mr. Chair, your kindness in doing that, I deeply appreciate it.
Thank you. Question?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We close the public hearing and open the work session on SCR 15.
Mr. Chair, move SCR 15 before the pass recommendation.
Senator Tarno has moved SCR 15 before the pass recommendation. As a matter of discussion, I'd like to put it on the record that Leo Thornton was a longtime friend of mine. Met him through the Salt Shakers in Portland and Evangelical Christian group, which he was a member, and I had opportunity to associate with, and I deeply appreciate this memorial to his life and his work in our state. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke. Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Tarno.
Aye.
Senator
Wild.
Aye.
Chair
Sarris. Aye. I receive the necessary votes. SCR 15 moves forward to pass recommendation, and Senator Lim will carry. Let me go back to the top there. So it's a while for my idea of sports to spin through it. Open that possible reconsideration and work session for House Bill 2022.
Mr. Chair, I move to suspend the rules for the request to reconsider House Bill 2022.
Senator Eternal has moved to send the real purpose of reconsidering House Bill 2022. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator
Eternal.
Aye.
Senator Wild.
Aye.
Aye. I receive the necessary majority of the motion carried. The rules have been suspended.
Mr. Chair, I move the committee reconsider House Bill 2022.
Senator Eternal moves the committee to reconsider House Bill 2022. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Eternal.
Aye.
Senator Wild.
Aye.
Chair Stark.
Aye. Motion carried. House Bill 2022 is now before the committee as if it had not been heard. We will also 2022 will be dealt with at a later date. We'll open the proper reconsideration and work session on House Bill 2477.
Mr. Chair, I move to suspend the rules for purpose of reconsidering House 2477.
Senator Turner, suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering House Bill 2477. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Eternal.
Aye.
Senator Wild.
Aye.
Senator
Starr. Aye. The motion carries. The rules have been suspended.
Mr. Chair, I move the committee reconsider House Bill 2477.
Senator Eternal has moved the committee reconsider House Bill 2477. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Eternal.
Aye.
Senator Wild.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. We will now move on to this will be held for subsequent House Bill 2477 be held for subsequent action. We're moving on to a work session on our public hearing. Public hearing on House Bill 2551. We got Ron Harlan and Ed Hughes.
Good afternoon.
Yes, Mr.
For the record, my name is Ron Harlan. I reside in Salem, and I'm the legislative officer for the Military Order of Purple Heart and the Veterans of Foreign Wars for the state of Oregon. I'm here to speak in support of this bill. Because I believe that young people are being denied a lot of opportunity. And I come by this firsthand, having a grandson that was not doing that well in school, got mixed up with the recruiters in ROTC, and now is in the top of his class and has a $60,000 scholarship. I believe this should be offered, if at all possible, to any student that wishes this and is interested in it. And I don't believe that keeping the recruiters out is conducive to these type of opportunities at all. I'll answer any questions I can if you have any. Otherwise, I appreciate your time.
I have a question. Mr. Rowling, have you seen this
article from the Oregonian?
Yes, I have.
It is excellent.
There's another young man that only he got about 90,000 in scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
This would never happen.
I think it's so short-sighted of the school board to have a tantrum like this.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I have no comment, Mr. Chairman. Just reading this article, I think, will explain the bill.
Any articles?
Arnold?
Gentlemen, do we know if the majority of our military branches are still accepting youngsters out of high school level into the military?
Yes, they will, but they do have to. They're pretty picky about having that high school diploma now, where they didn't used to be. But they like that. And the more education they pick up, the better they like it, and the more opportunities they offer them.
I might add, Mr. Chairman, that the reason the veterans have introduced this and are requesting this legislation is because the military recruiters themselves cannot speak. They're muzzled by federal law. And so it sort of leaves it to the veterans to speak for the young folks who could pull themselves up by the bootstraps and help themselves out with a career. And when the folks in Portland are denied that career, I would think that they're the very people that really need the help. But the Portland School Board apparently feels otherwise, and I don't know what to say, except they're the only school board in the nation to restrict recruiters. So we thought we'd fix it.
Any further questions? Mara, thank you, and we'll... Anyone else desire to testify on the bill? Not with a public hearing.
Thank you, Chairman. Senator.
Sure. Could I make a statement? Well, it's your version.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Turner, for allowing me to speak. This puts me in a tough position. I want you to know that, because I have the principals of both my high schools preferring that this be allowed to take place. I have my school board saying no, but I also want to say I have my wife also saying no. So it makes it very difficult for me. As she said, she does not want her two sons going off to war. And so I didn't know I was marrying a pacifist, but she seems to be changing with age. So anyway, I will vote how I see fit, and I might have to go home and live with it. So thank you.
And I just wanted to say, thank you. For those on the Internet that don't know what we're talking about, this is a bill that the school board in Portland, I think it was 1991, banned all military recruiting personnel from the high schools in the Portland area because of the gay issue in the military. And this is to override their decision and say to the kids opportunities. And there's an article that was in the Oregonian on June 22nd, and this young man, Brendan Huff, tells how that he was in Seattle when he decided to join a recruiter team, and he benefited at least $90,000 in his education. So this is a great bill.
I would accept a motion.
Chair, I move House Bill 2551, the School District Recommendation.
Senator Tarnow has moved House Bill 2551 to the floor to pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Chair Dish, Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Chair Tarnow.
Aye.
Chair Wild.
With trepidation, aye.
Yes, sir.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, House Bill 2551 moves to the floor to pass recommendation. Senator Shannon, you carry?
I'd love to.
Senator Shannon will carry. I'd like for the clerk to show Senator Dukes his excuse on all the votes. With that, we will move forward to a work session. Open the work session on Senate Bill 1330. We have some amendments, and I'd like to have Senator Shannon and
okay, I'll come down.
Have a very explain those amendments to this? No? Okay, just Senator Shannon.
I'll make this clear.
Right to light, my name is Marilyn Shannon, and I'm from, you can go back there,
I didn't know I was
going to go back there. I'm from Senate District 15, and this bill is not brought to you, forward to you by Oregon Right to Life. They were allowed a limited number of bills, and this is not one of them.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Do I understand correctly that they were allowed a limited number of bills?
That's correct.
Who did that limit?
It's my understanding you need to talk to the Speaker about it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Right. I will just say that Betsy Close and I sponsored a bill earlier in the session, but when we found out that for sure it was in a committee that was closed, and Speaker, you can talk to Representative Manick, it was in a committee, House Judiciary. They allowed one hearing. Representative Close didn't even get to testify, and he was given instructions to not move the bill out, and the bill is dead because she closed down that committee. And so we came forward with this bill, and after we passed it out, we found out that Washington State had defeated a similar bill and was felt because of the felony penalty, and I was willing to bring it back and lower the crime and the punishment, and that's what your -7 amendments do. It makes it a Class C misdemeanor and revocation of the license, the doctor's abortionist medical license, and it's up to a judge what they want to, the penalty they want to do for violating this law. I do want to say that our bill specifically, again, speaks of partial birth infanticide, and that there is no court in the country that has upheld partial birth infanticide or any infanticide, when Roe v. Wade made their decision, that's the big abortion rights decision in 1973, or handed it down, they did not protect destroying a baby's life in the process of birth. And in case you, Senator Turner, you weren't here, but partial birth infanticide is after the baby, when the pregnancy is completed, the feet, the arms, everything has left the birth canal. The baby is breathing the same air that we breathe, but 2 inches of its head is still in the birth canal, and they poke scissors in the back of the neck, they open the scissors, put in a tube, and suck out the baby's brains, and then, of course, throw away the baby, and I don't know what they do with the brains, but then the baby is, the 2 inches of the head comes out, but it's, the pregnancy is over when this infanticide begins.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with the partial birth abortion. What I'm concerned about is reducing this from a Class A felony to a Class C misdemeanor. Class A misdemeanor did not allow for probable cause arrest. It has to be a on-site an offense committed in your presence. It doesn't allow for other persons to allude to an abortion, whereas a Class A misdemeanor would. A Class C requires you to be there in order to prosecute.
What about a B?
A B will work.
Okay, let's move it to a B.
I'll use a C.
Okay, thank you. Because my counterparts in the House that were amazingly not to flaunt lunders in this, they wanted to move it to an A, one of the representatives, so I'm willing to move it to a B. And if we lose a vote or two on the floor, then we lose it, because this is so offensive. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. Okay. I'll ask him. He would know. Mm-hmm. Senator Tarno, do you know the penalties for a Class B?
That's the 1 year, $1,000 fine. Thank you.
Okay.
because we have senators in our own party that really didn't want to sell any, but they wanted something. And so I'm sure they'll still allow
that. That's the allow for public law investigation, too.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Did you want to say
anything? I just want to say, for Senator Tarnow's sake, that when this bill was first introduced, that Oregon Right to Life had a strong testimony in favor of the ban, in favor of SB 1330, and you weren't here to hear that. But.
Well, and I didn't want to insinuate that this wasn't something they didn't support, because they very much support, but they're lobbyists, and they don't decide what moves and what doesn't. They're lobbyists. And I do want to say that our Senate leadership has always been supportive of this being passed in our House and both Houses. So. Okay. Yeah.
Can conceptually amend the bill
from
C to B if that is what's necessary in order for the investigation to occur. You're quite sure on that point.
Well, he's a former sheriff. I think he might be.
Legislative council is in the room and asked him to answer the question. And of course, he didn't want to show up here. We have been informed that we. I'll let Senator Tarnow tell you what we. Found here.
Mr. Shamoff, they've indicated a Class C misdemeanor in lieu of a Class A felony. My concern was that a Class C misdemeanor is difficult to investigate because it doesn't allow for probable cause, arrest, or investigation. It has to be committed in your presence in order to be a Class C misdemeanor. Whether the Class B or A doesn't have to necessarily be committed in your presence, you can go on probable cause information.
Mr. Chair,
Senator
Tarnow,
that's
my understanding. Yes.
Thank you for that.
That's all we need to know.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
May I just say something for the record? Okay.
Greg?
It's going to be the best you must have
could get. Penalty? Did you guys come to the microphone? The microphone, please.
$2,000.
What is the microphone penalty for Class B? Mr. Mayor, do you know?
Mr. Chair, off the top of my head, I don't know, but looking at a for a moment in the book, I'm sure I can find it.
It's most kind of your $2,000 class.
Thank you. Our question is answered.
Very well answered.
I just wanted to say that some people have been confused because laws of that ban partial birth abortion have not been upheld in the court, and that's the reason that we specifically use infanticide, because the courts, there's no court that allows infanticide, and I'm not talking about abortion where the baby has not been delivered, and abortion is inside the darkness of the mother's womb, and I'm talking about infanticide when the baby's in the hands of the doctor. And for a court to hold that partial birth infanticide is unconstitutional would require it to find a new unprecedented constitutional right to commit infanticide whenever a live infant has been partially born but not all parts of the body have fully emerged from the birth canal. No court has ever recognized such a constitutional right, and to do so would be directly contrary to the Supreme Court's recent decision in Washington versus Glucksberg in 1997 and Compassion in Dying versus Washington, I have all that, that in which the Supreme Court held that courts are not to create new substantive due process constitutional rights unless they are either textually based or objectively deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition. A constitutional right to infanticide has no such basis. Recognition of such a right merely because of the proximity of birth to pregnancy would involve a significant extension of Roe and Casey, not supported in any present case law.
Thank you. Further discussion? consent.
I move.
Is it conceptual?
I move that we conceptually amend the dash, what is the dash?
Seven.
Dash seven from a C to a B, Class B misdemeanor.
On line one?
Yeah, I don't have it yet. On line one. There we go. On line one.
Senator Shannon has moved we conceptually amend the dash seven amendments by changing the word C on line one, the dash seven, to a B. And it would read then a B misdemeanor. Any objections? There are none forwarded.
And I move the dash seven amendments as amended to Senate Bill 1330.
Senator Shannon has moved the dash seven amendments as conceptually amended to Senate Bill 1330. Any discussion? Any objection? Not support.
Okay. I move Senate Bill 1330 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Shannon has moved Senate Bill 1330 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Let's call the roll.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarnow?
Aye.
Senator Wild?
Aye.
Senator
Starr? Aye. And received the necessary majority. Senate Bill 1330 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Shannon will carry. That concludes the business of the Public Affairs Committee for the day. With that, we adjourn. Thank you all for your kind attendance.
We'll jump on the case.
Well, you won't have to.
Well, she'll know.
She'll know before I get home.
I'm going to get married sometime.
Oh, yeah.